Chapter 8. Opening Doors. Prefect Bessemer Gurrit was in charge of the administratum's functions across Vorlisi, at least so far as Chetta could work out, and she'd already decided that he was about as much use as a hydraulic wrench in a void battle, which was to say, he had a specific function and he was very well suited to it, and he would not benefit her in any way. He was 97 Terran years old, apparently with only one remaining human eye. The stare from his bionic was possibly warmer.
"Hi, lady,"
he rasped, with all the respect and reverence that might infuse a proctor's utterance of the word citizen when addressed to someone in possession of goods that weren't strictly theirs.
"Do you have any idea, any whatsoever, of just how ridiculous this request is?"
"I feel that you and I may have differing opinions on that, Prefect," Chetta replied dryly, in a similar vein to how we each view matters like urgent or even critical to planetary security.
"If the matter is as critical as you say, and somehow linked to the awful events at Gallimo, then why am I speaking to you, and not to Judge Arctos?"
Gurrit demanded. "Judge Arctos is, I'm certain, pursuing his own investigations into this matter," Chetta said. "At least I certainly hope so. However, the Adeptus Arbites have many things to occupy their attention. I'm in the position of being extremely intelligent, extremely worried, and in need of something to occupy my brain in the aftermath of my husband's death. I can assist the judge, if you assist me."
"That would be quite impossible," Gurrit snorted. "Passenger records are strictly controlled and may only be accessed by adepts of appropriate rank within the administratum, or by law enforcement officials upon the presentation of appropriate documentation. You are neither, high lady, and I strongly suggest that you keep your nose out of that which does not concern you."
He glanced at the gilt-chased chrono which hung on the wall, making an obnoxious ticking noise.
"Thus far, you have taken up 3 minutes and 49 seconds of my time. I can allow no more. Data waits for no man, and nor may I."
Chetta was in the mood for a blazing row with someone, and this dried-up jigfruit of a man would have served admirably. But it would achieve nothing. She sighed pointedly and hauled herself to her feet, leaning heavily on her cane and wincing at a twinge in her elbow. That was all she needed. Her hip wasn't so bad today. But if her main supporting arm decided to start playing up as well, then she might as well get a grav chair, like Cannavario Zudine, and have done with it. "Not today," she thought fiercely, as she turned to leave Gurrit's chambers without dignifying him with a farewell, flanked by two of Crane's best and preceded by obsequious, black-robed menials of the administratum, whose only purpose appeared to be making Gurrit and his visitors feel important. "Not today, and not tomorrow. After that, we'll see." She'd repeated the same mantra for the last 15 years, and it had kept her going so far. It seemed you really could fool yourself, even if you knew you were doing it. She allowed herself to be ushered through the grand doors of bronze-plated Catechan Teak, and out of the presence of the man whom countless adjuncts had breathlessly told her she was so unbelievably lucky to be able to see at such short notice, at her request, and what a grand honour was being afforded to her in recognition of her rank as spouse of the former Novator of House Brabantis. "The warp take them all," Chetta thought bitterly, as she stumped across the prefect's antechamber, where his other appointments were waiting, then hastily recanted it inside her head, when she remembered that what she was trying to achieve was to make sure that in fact the warp didn't take them all, herself included. It wasn't that she was superstitious, but there was no use in borrowing trouble, as Azariel would have said. A sensible adage in uncomfortable times. Her eyes lighted on a young man, whom she'd seen on the way in. He was clearly administratum, middle ranking, to judge by the shade of grey of his robe, although Chetta couldn't keep up with the almost indeterminable levels of nuance in their system. He wasn't wearing the black robes of the menials or the ice grey of the prefect, but was probably closer to the latter than the former, so far as her eyes could tell. He was pleasingly plump, with a pale complexion and sandy hair that was just starting to thin at the temples. Most importantly, he didn't look to have yet had the soul sucked out of him by his work. Most of the administratum scribes that Chetta encountered bore the haggard expressions of people who'd been the channel for so many words and numbers, that it was as though some of their essential personhood had been taken along for the ride, leaving them a hollow husk that could spell and add up, but little more besides. This one, checking his data slate, looked like he cared about whatever it was he was doing. Caring was important. Chetta knew full well that if she'd presented Prefect Gurret with a squalling naked infant, he could have told her its length and weight and estimated its age, but wouldn't think to ask where its parents were, whether it needed feeding, or why no one had put any clothes on it. She tutted. She'd tried to do things the right way. Now she'd have to do things her way. As usual. "Good sire!" she called, angling her progress towards the adept. She sensed, more than saw, her guards exchange a glance. They were smart enough to know that proper protocol here was for her to leave forthwith, since she'd been dismissed by the prefect and this was very much his domain, and they were also smart enough to keep their mouths shut about that fact. The adept automatically looked up from his data slate, one finger still poised over it and his brow furrowed in confusion when he realised that he was indeed the person being addressed. Chetta saw his eyes skim over her, taking in the richness of her black mourning attire, the presence of her guards and the House Brabantis heraldry pins that she was wearing prominently on each breast, and watched him very rapidly come to the conclusion that he was dealing with someone far above him in terms of social station. "Hi, lady," he said, with a bow of surprising fluidity, and unlike Prefect Gurret, he sounded both honoured and slightly overawed. "How may I assist you?"
"What is your name and title, good sire?" Chetta asked him. "I must confess, I get lost with all these shades of grey."
"I have the honour to be Junior Sub-Prefect Tekawiyan," the adept said, rising from his bow.
"Lady Chetamande Brabantis," Chetta said. "As for how you can assist me, Junior Sub-Prefect Yan," she paused, considering for a moment how best to word her next sentence. Well, Deschelle wasn't here to paint pretty pictures with words, and Chetta always had believed in being direct with people. As much as anything else, it meant they weren't prepared for it if you had to obfuscate in the future. "How would you like to die a horrible, painful death?" Yan swallowed visibly, his eyes flickering nervously from her to her guards and back again.
"Hi, lady,
It's a simple enough question, Junior Sub-Prefect," Chetta said mildly, "and I assure you, it is not a trick."
"I would not like that to happen," Yan ventured.
"Marvellous," Chetta beamed at him. "It seems we're in agreement, then." "I also don't wish to die a horrible, painful death, Tekoa, and I need your help to ensure that both of us, along with anyone we've ever loved, can avoid that."
"Hi, lady, I confess I do not understand."
"Walk with me. For a few moments, Tekoa," Chetta said. "I'm none too steady on my feet, after all."
"Hi, lady, I have duties here."
"I'm well known to be a foul-tempered battle-axe, Tekoa," Chetta told him bluntly. "Being accosted by me is a thoroughly understandable reason to have to leave your duties briefly. Listen to what I have to say, and then you can return to them if you wish." She saw Tekoa Yan weighing up his options. For a moment, glancing surreptitiously around at the rest of the antechamber, and she took the opportunity to do the same. Gurret's seneschal was already calling the names for his master's next meeting. The guards at the door were staring blankly ahead, clearly not caring about anything taking place in front of them unless it was going to threaten those doors. None of the other adepts in the chamber, taking notes or checking data slates or hurrying from someplace to someplace else, were paying Yan any attention at all. In fact, several of them appeared to be deliberately avoiding his gaze, presumably in case they got roped into having to deal with the First Lady of House Brabantis.
"Very well, High Lady,"
Yan said, reaching out to take her hand. His grip was warm and firm, and his eyes twinkled for a moment with the light of a man daring to step outside his routine for the first time in years.
"I would be happy to assist you for a few minutes."
"What do you know of the warp, Tekoa?" Chetta asked quietly, as they walked through corridors filled with grey-robed scribes, blank-eyed servitors, and even the occasional buzzing servo skull.
"I know it is the medium through which the Imperium's starships travel," Tekoa said carefully. "I know that navigators such as yourself guide those ships through it. have heard that sometimes ships become lost in it.
And the Cicatrix Maledictum?
The work of our enemies, Tekoa said fiercely. But Lord Gilliman will throw them back and heal the skies.
Chetta managed not to laugh. Oh, to be that hopeful and that naive. So you understand that sometimes the warp can be dangerous?
I suppose that would make sense, Tekoa replied, nodding.
You would, of course, know far more about such things than I.
Chetta decided that she definitely liked him. I am not boasting when I say that I do, Tekoa. Now, you're aware of the loss of Gallimo Prime.
Tekoa nodded again, a somewhat haunted look coming over his face. Yes, High Lady. We've been instructed not to talk of it. But what can you do in the face of such a tragic misfortune? Besides, the cessation of shipping traffic alone would cause too many questions for anyone here to remain ignorant of it for long.
Tekoa, I'm going to be honest with you, Chetta said, lowering her voice further. I asked Prefect Gurret for access to the passenger logs for the last few transports from the Gallimo system, because I fear that someone involved in that world's fate may have come here. She watched his eyes grow wide in horror at the sheer concept. He refused me.
Tekoa Yun wasn't stupid. His eyes narrowed again and his mouth tightened.
If Prefect Gurret refused you,
Tekoa,
someone needs to do something about this, and right now I'm the only person whom I know is willing to. Chetta snapped at him. It may come to nothing, but I need to try.
But High Lady, I could access the logs, but when my involvement is discovered...
Chetta rounded on him and pinned him up against the wall with the butt of her cane.
She couldn't have held him there had he struggled. But the shock, and possibly the presence of her guards, did the job for her.
Junior Subprefect Tekoa Yun, Chetta hissed into his face. If you're trying to tell me that you'd place your continued career in the Administratum higher than the fate of this entire world, then first of all, I'm confident in saying that Lord Gilliman would be ashamed of you. And secondly, I fear you have woefully overestimated your ability to survive the planet disappearing from under your feet.
Tekoa took a couple of breaths, then nodded cautiously.
As you say, High Lady, as you say. The Emperor, forgive me, you speak wisely. I will assist you.
Chetta smiled and patted his hand and leaned somewhat gratefully on her cane once more.
Thank you, Tekoa. Thank you.
She waited for another moment, then added, And of course, should your superiors here disagree with the necessity of your actions, I'd be happy to find you employ in House Brabantis.
Tekoa looked like he'd been hit with a shock maul. Hi, Lady.
He looked both ways, abruptly terrified, but there was no sign that anyone at all was remotely interested in the grey-robed adept being alternately harangued and praised by the angry old navigator.
You would do such a thing?
I'm sure you've seen my home, Tekoa, Chetta said. I'd wager we could pry some of the external decoration off and give it to you, and it would still be worth more than your wages here. I think we can stretch to another name on the payroll, if that name has proved their usefulness. She gestured vaguely with her cane.
Lead on, do.
I have no wish to stand around for longer than absolutely necessary.
Tekoa still looked slightly shell-shocked, but he sketched a quick bow to her and then, with a deep breath to compose himself, turned his back on his post and his duties, and set off down a different corridor with renewed purpose. Chetta followed along behind, the dull clack of her cane on the floor marking every other step she took, and tried not to smile too widely to herself. It was amazing how much good could be achieved with a carefully judged mix of threats and honesty.